You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, we've been going through 1 Corinthians and getting some lessons from Corinth. We've been focusing a little bit, or mostly on errors that we can learn from. Errors in Corinth that we can take and learn something from them, maybe fix some mistakes, maybe know what way we shouldn't go, right? We've been looking at that. And so we've been in 1 Corinthians now. Last time we went through 1 Corinthians, we went through it from chapter 8 all the way through chapter 10. And we were focusing on what Paul was talking about there. I think the general teaching was he was talking about presumptuous liberty, where Christians were using their rights, and it didn't matter if it was hurting others. They were just doing what they thought they could do, and it didn't matter how it affected other people. And Paul was teaching them that that's not the right way to live. That's not a Christian way to live. In fact, he ends chapter 10, verse 33, saying, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Right? He says, look, I was willing to give up my rights, willing to give up my different liberties that I have. I'm willing to give those up if it's going to benefit other people. So rather than looking to yourself and thinking about what you can do selfishly, no matter what, even if it hurts others, he says, be followers of me, do things like I do things, because I see the example in Christ is that you give up your rights, you give up some of your liberties, you give up yourself to benefit and help others. So that's what he's been talking about in these last few chapters. So that was our main point last time. That's the error of presumptuous liberty. But today I want to talk about errors of ministry and money. Because he touches on something in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that I think is worth pointing out and we should go through, especially when it's concerning churches. We need to do this thing right. And so I want to talk about errors in ministry and money. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start reading from verse 6. He says, "Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law also the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, it is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?" So this is Paul talking, and basically what he's teaching is that he's teaching that the ministers have the right to be supported. He's teaching that ministers have the right to be supported, and this is an important teaching. And he's also teaching that ministers should take responsibility of not being ruled by that support. That's what he's going to get onto later on. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the church's call to give, and we're going to talk about the minister's call to serve. Because churches should give sacrificially, and ministers should serve selflessly. And I think we see that here in 1 Corinthians 9 very clearly. First, I'm going to ask Brother Mike, could you pray for us this morning?
Oh, dear Lord, thanks for opening the doors and getting us here this morning, Lord. We pray that already that you give the preacher the words to preach out. It could be helping to be a mouthpiece for you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for being here, Lord. And we pray that you open our hearts, Lord. Help us to hear the message. Lord, help us to receive it. And Lord, thank you for your mercies and your grace getting us here today. Continue to bless our brothers up in New York and safe travel to getting back to, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you for the service and ask for wisdom and grace, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's look at this principle that Paul shows us here. As he's talking about other things, he gets into this principle, and that principle is that those who feed and bless you spiritually should be supported by you financially. That's the spiritual, that's the principle that he gives, the spiritual one here. Let's read verse 13 and 14. It says, "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now this is something that we should consider, right? The church is called to give is something important, and we should consider it because first of all, it is a call from God. This is God's way that He set it up, and God is ordaining it. He said, God has ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now what is he teaching? He's teaching that those that are preaching the gospel should be supported by those who are hearing that. Those who are hearing that preaching, those that are hearing that spiritual teaching, those who are benefiting from that spiritual teaching should be supporting the preacher. That's what he's saying. That's what he's talking about here. And that's why he goes back to don't you see that God said, don't muzzle the ox that's treading the corn? He says, do you think he said that because he cares so much about oxen? It's not about that. The principal point God is talking about and teaching us is that God wants the laborer to be worthy of his reward. In other words, when somebody's laboring, we shouldn't hold back our money from them. If somebody is spiritually feeding and blessing you, you should be willing to support them financially.
Amen.
That's why he's asking, hey, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Paul's asked that question. Is it a great thing if we ask of you carnal things when we have given and provided for you spiritual things? No. I mean, any one of us here, you go out to a steak dinner, after you finish that steak dinner, do you get up and just walk out without paying the bill? No, we all know that's wrong. Well, why would we do that spiritually?
Amen.
Why would we think, well, we can be fed and fed and fed and fed, and we have no obligation or no need at all in any way to provide for those preachers? Paul is saying this is a wrong mindset, and it is an incorrect mindset. It is not the right mindset to have as a church. Now, Paul does say later on, he teaches us that he did not receive their stuff, and he did it for his reasons, as we've been talking about. But it still should not change the mindset of a church in understanding that what the preachers are doing is valuable, and it should be respected, valued, and even worth supporting.
Amen.
So let's go to a few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. And you probably know a lot of these, and that's okay. We can go through them again. It's obviously important. Now again, right now our focus is on the church's call to give. We are going to talk about the minister and his point of view and what he should be doing later on. But right now we're just focusing on what Paul is teaching, the principle that a church's call is to give. If somebody is blessing you spiritually, you should support them financially. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward." You see, he says it very clearly. Those elders that are ruling well, you should support them. And that's what he means by whenever he says, counted worthy of double honor. I think This is clear. Paul is putting it together. He obviously uses the same scripture that he uses in 1 Corinthians 9. He talks about muzzling the ox. He says that those that are ruling well, those that are leading well, those that are elders in the church and they're doing a good job, you should count them worthy of double honor. In other words, you should support them. This is the correct teaching, the correct thinking that a church should have. If there are elders that are leading correctly, you should support those elders.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 6. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 verse 6. He says, let him that is taught in the word communicate or give unto him that teacheth in all good things. You should share in your good things to that person who is teaching you the word. This is just a simple, it's a real teaching, it's a normal teaching, it's something that's clear in the scriptures. If somebody is providing for you spiritually, then you should be providing for them financially. If you have those that are ruling, those that are leading, those that are governing the church, they should be well supported. You should have this desire in you as a congregant, as a church. You have a call to give. Yeah, that's our calling. We should give those that are leading us. And you know, God says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Giving shouldn't be something that is forced out of us, almost like you have to do this. Giving shouldn't be that way. We should just understand the principle. Hey, we're getting fed well. We should desire to give. We should desire to support. We should desire, right? And count them worthy of double honor. So it would not be right for us as a church, as a congregation, to think and expect, you know what, our preachers, well, they should preach like Spurgeon, they should work like CEOs, they should be on call like paramedics, and they should counsel as good as a psychiatrical, studied man. And yet, we don't have any need to give to them support. That just doesn't make sense.
That's right.
Right? Pastors should serve selflessly, and we will get to that. But the church should understand that it has a responsibility, a duty to give unto them their carnal stuff because they are ministering to you the word.
Amen.
That's the teaching. That is what Paul is pointing out. It is a principle. It's a principle that he points out, like it should be understood. It should be known. And what happened was these men in Corinth undermined Paul's authority and they looked down on him because he was not receiving their money. He says, listen, I have the right, or I have a responsibility within me to give up my liberty, which is my liberty, my power that I have, is that I should be accepting the money from y'all. I should be a burden financially on y'all because I'm preaching the gospel to you, so you should be giving me your money. But Paul said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to be a burden financially on you. And so they were actually despising him because of it. They were looking down on him because of it. They were thinking, oh, well, he's less than Cephas. He's less than them. And they started looking down on him. And Paul is saying, what is going on? How is this possible? I do deserve to take your money, but I chose not to do it willingly because I didn't want to be a financial burden upon y'all, and I did not want to hinder the gospel in any way. And yet they looked down on him. So I think this is a good point for us to just consider, is that we should not look down on our elders because they are not receiving as much financial support as maybe we think they should. So let me say, for 50 plus years, the elders of this church have have not desired to be a financial burden to the church in order to make missions a priority in this church. You know that the pastors in this church have for 50 years been working secular jobs and preaching and teaching and taking the time to visit people and taking the time to do all the pastoral duties and necessities. They've done all that, and yet they have not been preaching that you should be giving and giving and giving to them, because their priority is, let's focus on missions.
Amen.
They have not prioritized themselves above that. And we should not at any moment think that they deserve less honor because of it.
That's right.
We can start thinking, oh man, you know, they don't do as much as other pastors, or they don't, and we start talking bad about these things that the pastors have done for 50 years, but you realize that you have been able to support full-time missionaries in Poland and in Mexico. And if you look at the fruit that has come from that, it's an amazing blessing that we've been able to be a part of that. We should not allow that to give us a point of looking down, despising, or minimizing the work of the elders in this church. Ministers should be willing to serve for free. But that's beside the point. We, as a church, still have the duty and obligation to support them. It should not, we should not just think that we can just overlook it and make it nothing. No, it is still important. It's something we should have in our mind. And they made light of Paul's authority. Like, for example, 9 verse 1, he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? He continually has to defend himself, because they were minimizing his ministry. Why? Because he wasn't taking their money? Why is somebody that's going to be preaching about himself and always taking money and always asking for money, why would we give him more honor than the one that is trying to not be a burden financially and focus on other things like missions? I think it's something we need to be careful for, not to minimize the honor that should be given to our elders. Another thing that you need to consider as a church, and we need to consider as a church as we give, as we have this call to give, is that we do not try to use our financial support to manipulate decisions.
That's right. Amen.
We start thinking, hey, well, look, I've got a big offering, but you know, I don't really like it when you preach on so and so. You know, you could receive this if you stop preaching that. What kind of manipulation are you trying to pull over the preacher? Why are you trying to manipulate the message with your money? Listen, money should not be used to manipulate the direction of the church. And as our call is to give, we should understand that and recognize that and know it. And we shouldn't be trying to manipulate through the money that we give. We should give without expecting to control the decisions. And the church is set up, in our church, it's set up for designating offerings. That means God has given you the responsibility to be a good steward of what He has shared with you. God has shared with you monetary things, and He expects you to be a good steward of it. And in this church, you have the opportunity to designate your money where you want it to go. That is a great blessing. You don't just throw it in and let everybody else make decisions. You don't just put it somewhere for somebody else to make all the decisions. Because, you know, that seems like a very easy thing to get corrupted. Whenever one or a few people have the decision to make it all look like what they want to do with it, that can get corrupt pretty easily, I think. But you, whatever, listen, if you put money in there and you put on the check or on our list right there, you say, go to John Castillo, all of that money is going to John Castillo. That's an amazing thing. We don't take out money to give to those that are doing the books. Those ladies that are doing the books, that are staying here time and time again after the meeting for a while, they do it all voluntarily.
Thank you, Lord.
And they don't take your money so that you can get your money to go where it needs to go.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
We do designated offerings. That means you get to decide what you do with your money. And while the pastors of this church have not wanted to be a financial burden to anybody in this church, thinking that they should be financially supported completely above and overlooking missions and overlooking everything else, while they have not been a financial burden, it would be incorrect for us not to teach you that it is a duty for you to give to your pastors. Amen. We just can't overlook that. We can't pretend like it's not meaningful. We can't pretend like it's not a duty that's shown in the Bible. There is a responsibility there. And so you have the opportunity to decide where your money goes and how much you're going to give. You can decide how much you're going to give to your pastors, how much you're going to give to missions, how much you're going to give to the general fund. And the way I do it is I give to pastors and I give to general fund. And then I see that I have an opportunity to go beyond that and invest in missions, right? And so when you're giving to your elders and even to the general fund, you know, in order to have light and have nice chairs and have a place to meet, we have to give to the general fund. And if you're not giving to the general fund and one day we don't have enough money to have the lights on and power and we don't have enough money to pay for the things that we have to pay for here, then we're going to have to meet outside. And that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. But if you like having light and if you like having chairs, you should give to the general fund. It doesn't mean you put all your money there, but you are going to be able to distribute the money how you see fit. I personally give some money to the general fund and I give to pastors and then I get excited about thinking that I can invest in missions, in worldwide evangelism. And that's a great thing. That's a great opportunity that we have because the focus has not been give to your pastors only. The focus has been, hey, we have a mission to evangelize the whole world and let's focus on that. And we can prioritize missions. So when that happens, we should not look down on the elders of this church. We should give and avoid the burdening of this church to prioritize missions. That has been a goal from a long time ago. And I think that even at the beginning, whenever this happened, a few people that had some money were thinking, wow, we're expecting me to give all the money. The truth is God has provided in a miraculous way with this church. I don't know how we've had supported missionaries full time this long with this church. I don't know how it happens, but God has done it and it's a great blessing and we want to continue doing it. Amen. But that means you need to be active, proactive in thinking about what you do with your money because there's a designated offering there and you get to decide what you do with it. So just the thoughts on that. Does anybody have questions on that subject right there? Just in case you do, we can get them out of the way. Okay, let's go to the minister's side. So we're there in 1 Corinthians. Remember, Paul, he, even though he taught and he showed that it was something that he was well able to take that liberty and that power that he had to take the offering that he deserved. But he says in verse 15, I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. This shows the heart of the minister. Listen, the heart of the minister should be to serve and to serve selflessly. Not about self-focus, not about thinking about himself. He is focused on getting the gospel out and focused on serving the church. We see that ministers can fall into money problems. Ministers can get caught up in money issues, and it happens all the time, and there's a lot of churches that have a lot of real problems with their finances. And not saying that they don't have finances, a lot of them have abundance of finances, but it's corrupting the ministers. And the Bible is very clear on this point, very clear. He mentions it many times, and so I want to go over with you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, you don't even have to turn there, you know what it says. It says, a bishop then must be, and it tells you a bunch of qualifications for a bishop. What an elder needs to look like, and one of those points is, not greedy of filthy lucre. An elder should not be the person that's really just wanting to make all that money and he's in it for the money. That's not the place of an elder. So, I have some dangers to address for ministers. Because the minister's call is to serve. And we don't want that to get skewed. Beware of serving for the sake of pay. Whenever we start turning this into, and listen, it's kind of a good thing, it's a right thing, right? You get to designate your offerings. That means you get to choose how much you give to who you give to. Okay? That's your choice. But whenever we turn it into a place where I am preaching and the reason I'm doing this is to get payment from you, this transactional business model can start getting tricky very quickly. And we have to beware that we're not serving for pay. That we're not working, that we're not serving in the church because we want to get paid. Amen. Because you're not working for a paycheck, and that shouldn't be your motivation. Your motivation shouldn't be for filthy lucre. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. We can turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5. verse 2, this is Peter talking to the elders, and he says to the elders, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. One of those points there is not for filthy lucre. You're not doing this because you're wanting to get filthy rich. And you know, I'm going to tie that into, because I have other points, but I'm going to tie that into, I'm going to put these all in one. Beware of greed and secret greed. Titus 1:7, that's another place where he talks about the necessities of an elder, and he also says not given to filthy lucre. But let's go to 2 Peter, since we're right there, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. We should be aware, beware of using the ministry for personal gain. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He says that because of covetousness, they use feigned words and they make merchandise of you. These are people who are leading, and they are, because they are greedy, because they want gain, they are willing to fake and say whatever is necessary to say and make merchandise of people. That means they're not interested in souls, they're interested in money. And all ministers need to beware that that does not become your principal goal, or your goal at all. You should not be wanting money and desiring money. You should be desiring to save souls, like Paul said he was an example of in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And remember, you don't have to be rich to be greedy, it's just that you are wanting it more, and you're wanting more than what God has given you, and you're desiring it, it's in your heart.
Amen.
So we should examine our heart regularly.
Amen.
Do you know that some are teaching, some preachers are teaching that if you give to their ministry, it guarantees a blessing for you? I mean, it's clear as day, and they'll say it strongly and passionately. If you give to me, God will bless you. Be careful when you start making it about giving to you. Because you have to be careful the greed that you can have within. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 2. Ezekiel 34 verse 2. I think these things are worth reading. I think they're worth seeing and looking at. Ezekiel 34 verse 2 says this. This is what the Lord said. Verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Shepherds begin worrying and caring about themselves, and they're not caring about the flock. And that should be a worry to all shepherds, all elders. Be careful that you're not starting to make things about you, and you're feeding yourself up, and you're filling yourself up, and it becomes something of a fame and focus, and everything's focused on you, and you're trying to build yourself up, but you're not really interested in the flock. Again, this is something that comes from within. What you should build is not your personal empire. You should be building the church of God. You shouldn't be making decisions that are based on, will it grow the budget? Can we get more money out of it? What's the way to get the most money? I mean, be careful. Be careful with what you're doing and how you're building your church. Jesus says in John, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the praise of men more than the love of God. They love the praise of God. Where the goal is no longer, again, the lives of the people. The goal is getting more, gaining more, having more, more fame, more riches. These are things that we really have to worry about. And again, not just saying that. And I'm not saying that every single pastor that has a lot of people in his church means that they're doing this. Again, it can be somebody that has very few people in his church, but his heart is this desire. That's wrong. And so as ministers, you have to understand your call to serve. You need to have the heart of a minister. And you're not serving for money. You're not serving for the sake of pay. We need to beware of watering down the message to keep donors, so to speak. Right. Well, you know what 2 Timothy 4 talks about? It talks about they're not going to be able to endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap up unto them, right, teachers, false teachers, because they don't want to hear certain things. And so as a preacher, you are tasked with giving the word of God as he wants it to be said, and you should not be worrying about if those rich people in your church are going to be offended and leave. Or if those people are going to stop giving because you mention this or you mention that. That is something that you have to be aware of as a preacher. Maybe softening the truth, right? Because you're protecting your income. You're protecting your approval. Be careful. You have to give the message clear, and don't mess up the message because you're considering what it's going to do financially for you. We'll turn to Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3, here again, God is revealing some problems that they had. And one of the problems was that he had a problem because the people thought they were okay with God. But he says the reason that they're saying everything's okay is because the prophets are not giving them the message that they should be giving them. That's the problem. The problem is the messengers. The problems are the preachers. The problems are these elders that are not focused on the message of God because they're focused on the wealth that they can get because money is controlling what they teach. Micah chapter 3 verse 11. It says, the heads thereof judge for reward. The priests, they're teaching for hire. And the prophets, they're divining for money. Yet will they lean upon me? They're going to lean upon me and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. They're trusting in what these prophets have been telling them. But the prophets have only been telling them good things because that's what makes them money. And so the people who are trusting that God is okay with them are in a danger because the prophet's not preaching what he's supposed to be preaching. And it's a full cycle. You're trying to get the preacher and you love what he says because he never says anything to condemn you. He never says anything to guilt you. He never says anything that can make you really think about what you're doing and to face your sin and to repent of your sins. He doesn't tell you any of that. So you give him lots of money and you're only encouraging yourself in a false pretense, in a false truth. Amen. And it's a real problem. So preachers, you gotta beware of watering down the message because you wanna keep those that are donating money. We have to be careful, beware of favoring the wealthy or the influential. Now, again, worth going to, let's go to James. James chapter 2. This is something that we have to be careful for. Now, you know, it's hard to say whether you would fall in this, you know, when you haven't been through it. I mean, it's not like I've ever been faced with, hey, I'll give you $1 million if you don't preach this. I can't say that I would no way even hesitate for a moment. I mean, I don't know. But we have to be thinking about where is our loyalty? And our loyalty is to the Word of God. And our loyalty is to do the right thing without respecting people, without respecting persons. And that's what James tells us in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, you stand over there, or sit here under my footstool, are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? You know, we have to be careful. Somebody influential comes in. Somebody with lots of money. Well, we might start respecting that person differently than we do those who don't have a lot of money. And this is wrong. And this is something preachers, teachers, elders need to beware of. Amen. You think, well, you know, I give some preferential treatment to some people just because they have money or they give more money. Maybe you visit them more because they'll give you more money. Maybe you avoid rebuking certain people because you know they give a large amount. I mean, these are things that are dangerous in the ministry because money can become a real problem. It just is. Money can become a real problem. Especially if you're faced with this. Like I said, if let's say Tim Duncan walked through those doors, how many people would jump up to go say hi to him?
Amen.
Maybe we have a little bit of respect of persons.
Amen.
I mean, let's be honest. We might have that problem. Well, maybe whenever these people aren't around, we don't have that problem. But if they did come around, or, you know, choose somebody else you think you respect, you hold them in high esteem. And then why don't we esteem others? Why do we look down on others? We have to be careful. And this is a real problem with rich and poor. Just because that person doesn't give to you or doesn't give as much money to the church and all of that doesn't mean they don't need to be visited, doesn't mean they don't need to be comforted, doesn't mean they don't need to be sought after. We've got to be careful with having respect of persons because of the influence that somebody has.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Another thing we need to beware of is the entitlement in times of abundance. You know, whenever we start preaching, and boy, people love it, and they start giving us money, and our church starts growing, and we start having revival, and we have lots of people, and we have lots of money, and we have a whole lots of stuff, what happens to your pride? What happens to your ego? Where are you? Are you still grounded? Or have you gotten lifted up like on an air balloon, way up high? We gotta be careful. We gotta be careful because if God does allow you to have some success and certain amounts and measure of success, and I would say thank the Lord, we do have some measure of success. Like I said, there's people that have been saved because we sent the gospel out. Now, be careful with success, and again, speaking financial success and financial, all of these things, because you can start thinking, boy, I got it made. Look how much I've done. And this is just general, I think, for everybody, okay? Anybody here, whether you're an elder, whether this is about a ministry, or whether it's in secular work, if you've worked really hard all your life, and you've made a lot of money, and you're sitting pretty, you should not look at yourself and think, wow, I've accomplished so much, and I'm so great. Because, listen, you wouldn't be there without God. Amen. And don't forget that. Amen. And the churches too. Remember, Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. We know what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about the whatsoever state he finds himself in, whatsoever state that God has put him in, whether he has riches or whether he has nothing, he says, I know that I can be content. I am content therein. That's right where he says after that, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know what he's talking about, right? He's talking about whether he has riches or whether he has poverty. Whether he has a lot to eat that day or whether he went through the day without eating anything because he was poor. He says, I can do all things through Christ. But whenever we get lifted up, and that's the example we have from Paul. Paul, whenever he had abundance, he didn't start bragging about himself, thinking that he was all that and he got himself there. He still recognized it's through Christ that it's been done and I'm content with what I have. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. That is the attitude to have.
Amen.
Amen. And prosperity, you know, whether it's preaching the gospel and winning souls, whether it's preaching the gospel and people are giving you lots of money and you become a really wealthy preacher, it can lead to pride. Amen. It can lead to pride. And that is a horrible thing to have. Pride is a really, really bad thing. I mean, this is what keeps God away from you. He will resist you because of your pride. And when he is providentially blessing you in your church, the last thing you want to do is build up your pride and keep him away. Yeah. It can lead to comfort. You start thinking, oh, well, I've got it made. We've got a church. We're pretty successful. I've got money in the bank. I'm comfortable. I don't have to work as hard as I used to. I don't have to put in the hours. I don't have to do. You start getting comfortable, and that's a dangerous thing too.
Yeah.
It can affect your trust. You start misplacing your trust. This is one of the dangers of riches, is that you stop trusting in God where you're depending on Him for every meal and for everything that's coming and every good thing you have. You depend on Him, and once you start having abundance of money, you start trusting that.
Right.
It's a real problem, and we need to beware of it. We need to beware of it. And as preachers, we got to be careful because the focus on money is a problem even in the ministry. Beware of bitterness. Not only beware of what you are in good times, right? In good times you got pride and in good times you have the entitlement, but beware of becoming bitter in times of lack. So whenever everything's going good, you're thinking, oh, I'm so great, I'm so good, and you're full of pride. And then whenever you're in lack, there's some need, and you're suffering, and you actually are suffering for the ministry. Remember, the ministry is not called for ease. The ministry is called for selfless sacrifice. And whenever you might end up sacrificing some things in the ministry, don't start being bitter of God, against God. Oh, because, Lord, why am I suffering so much? Lord, why don't I have the money I need? Why don't I have what I want? Acts, let's go to Acts. Again, look at Paul. Paul as an example. He was an example because he followed Christ's example. Acts chapter 20. He's talking to the elders at Ephesus, and he tells them some things here. In verse 33, he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yet ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, Paul's attitude through all this was not some type of bitterness towards God. He knew this was part of the ministry and he rejoiced in it. He rejoiced in that God made him part of this ministry, and sometimes he suffered lack. Sometimes he had some problems. He had some difficulties, but he still had to work, and he worked voluntarily, and he worked to support himself and support those that were with him. Paul was a working man. Amen. And he was not grudging against God. He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. How about being that transparent? He could go and he said, y'all know I didn't covet these things. We should have that also. As ministers, that should be our goal, one of our goals. Ministers should not be covetousness of filthy lucre. So again, what Paul's talking about, yes, the church has a call to give, but the minister has a call to serve. And so you have to balance these out. Because if all of it is about the church needs to give and give and give and give, you become one of those evangelists that all he's doing is gaining money for himself, and that's the message that he has to spread. Give to me and God will bless you. We gotta be careful of that. Amen. And then, like I've mentioned, we gotta beware of making, ministry decisions based on money. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I think this is a good principle also, and we can apply this principle also in this area. We walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, sometimes what we see, oh man, might give us some fear. We see the financials, we see certain things, and we think, man, we really gotta change things up. But we don't walk by sight. Just because things seem like they're in a bad way or something like that doesn't mean we change our doctrine. Doesn't mean we change certain things just because we want to see more money flow or we want to see more different things like that. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. In fact, 2 Corinthians, right there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Listen, if you think money is the solution, then there's something wrong. Money is not what moves the church. And it shouldn't become that way. But I have a fear that a lot of churches have gotten to that point where money is the driver. Now, what does this mean? Well, it might mean that we stay a considerably small church. I mean, it's the truth. If we are not pushing money and moving for, you know, all this stuff, then we might end up being a considerably small church.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, we're not going to let money be the one that makes the decisions in the church. It's not going to be our driving force.
Right.
We're not going to move to every whim of what money is dictating. And so we need to be careful letting the ministry be based on money and the decisions we make based on that. Don't let it dictate your calling as a minister. I think it's a danger to think, hey, well, where am I getting more money? Where am I offered more money? And, you know, that might be a point to discuss and topic of questioning. But again, I think that it should be designated offerings. And so if we're fighting about, you know, they're going to offer me a better pay over here, see y'all guys later, that doesn't seem too shepherd-like to me. So I would say don't let your finances dictate your calling and don't let it dictate your sermon topics. You're deciding what to say and how to say, and you're walking a tight line because you don't want to say certain things because you're thinking about money. Be careful. Don't let it affect you that way or the direction of the church. Man, the money is not what should be directing us and guiding us. So these are some things to be aware of as ministers. Basically, I'd say if you're not doing it for free, or if you wouldn't do it for free, you probably shouldn't do it at all. And you know, whenever we choose elders and stuff like that, we do always keep in mind to put somebody that's already doing the work, even though they're not getting paid. Because why are we going to put somebody that doesn't care about doing the work until they get paid? Or until they get recognition? Oh, well, I'm not going to do that until you recognize me as... Well, then you're not the guy for the job. God wants you to serve, whether there's money in it for you or not, whether there's recognition in it for you or not. You are called to serve, whether you have the title or not. A minister is called to serve. And if you're called to serve, then you should know that God will provide. And what He provides, you can be content with. Like Paul, that is our example. And so beware. So just there are some errors in ministry and money, and we need to beware of them, and we need to walk that balance as always. We're going to break for a few minutes, and then we'll be back with the second half.